Are you ready to step beyond your sexual walls? We're here to talk about anything you want. This is the Sisters of Sexuality show featuring Taylor Sparks and Parrish Michelle Blair. We have so much to talk about today, so let's just get things started. Here are your hosts, Taylor and Parrish.
Good evening, sexy people, and welcome to the Sisters of Sexuality Five Shades of Play radio show. This is your host, Taylor Sparks, and I am with my co-host, Parrish Michelle Blair, and we are beyond excited. This is another exciting show for us as we have our special guest, Jessica Holter. But before I bring her on, let me introduce her by giving you a little bit of background as if you don't already know. Jessica Holter, also known as Ghetto Girl Blue, is an author, entertainer, activist for sexual health and sexual abuse recovery. She is most well known for creating the Panani Poets, a community-based theater and adult entertainment program that she founded in 1995. The Panani Poets have inspired doctorate dissertations, outrage, and even protest over the years. Her television debut on HBO's Real Sex 24 and 26 launched the controversial theater company into popularity in the year 2000. Holter has appeared on BET's Live Track and Tonight with Ed Gordon, and she even managed to make adult entertainer Lexington Steele blush with a live performance of Pussy Willow on Playboy Radio. Now, with the creation of her nonprofit organization, Holter Intellectual Property, Inc., she is setting the stage for new conversations about the perils of foster care, sex trafficking, and the misappropriation of female sexuality. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. That was wonderful.
No, thank you so much.
Wow, that sounds great.
That's all you.
I mean, you know, when you're in it, you just do it. You know, like, you just do it. And there's like, you know, such a long list of things you want to do, especially as a woman. So many things you want to do in this life. You just kind of push through.
Well, as long as I've known you.
What did you have to push through?
Go ahead, Parrish. I'm sorry, honey. You go, Parrish.
What did you have to push through, Jessica?
Oh, you mean specifically with the Punani Poets?
Yeah, when you said there's so many things you want to do that you just have to push through, I'm just curious to know, what are some of those things that you had to push through in order to begin the list of things that you wanted to do?
Oh, my God, so many things. Well, I was raised in foster care, so that part, of course, was a challenge. And I'm biracial, but, like, my mother was white, and my brothers are all white. My sister is white. Like, everyone's white except me and my son. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, this organization of black social workers who kind of were pushing, advocating for there to be, like, no white people taking black kids in. So this kind of broke up my family, or at least I was separated from everyone else. So there was that. And with foster care, you know, there comes a lot of insecurity, anxiety, sleeplessness, sexual abuse, that type of thing. Yeah.
I'm just going to wrap my mind around what you just said, Jessica. So you have a mom, you've got these siblings, although they apparently are from a different relationship because they're white and you're mixed. What did that make you feel like? Or what happens to a young girl's mind when it's like, you don't belong, you have to go to strangers when you already have a family? Like, what was that? I'm just curious. That's very dramatic or traumatic.
You know, I think for me, it just caused me to want to create my own family, but not in the typical way that foster girls do. A lot of foster girls have children, and often, you know, they have them young and they have many children because they're trying to have a family, recreate what they missed out on. For me, I just had one son, and then I got my tubes tied immediately when I knew my marriage wasn't going to work. And for me, I think it was a good decision. And so for all the emptiness I had, I created not just the Punani Poets, like, as a project, but we are a family. And mm-hmm. they are some phenomenal human beings. And I'm just so blessed, you know, just to even
one
be
of your
able to do this
members,
kind of work.
One of your family members, I think you might consider him, I don't know if you, I'm sure you consider the men and the women that you help, your family. Diaba
yes.
wanted me to tell you that he's sending you lots of love, and he's talked about how tremendous you were in giving him, you know, what felt like the first opportunity for, you know, the world's success. And so he's
yeah,
like, please
so sweet.
Be sure to tell her. And I was like, I won't forget. I promise.
That is wonderful. Every time I think of the Abba, I think of Ebony Brown. She passed away in 2015, but she was like right there with me when I started the Punani Poets. And when I started working with Ziaba, I brought him to her shop, and we did a little show together. And all I can remember is how pretty his knees were. He had on like these jeans, and the knees were cut out, and he's doing his poetry, and Ebony just kept saying, "Damn, you got some pretty knees."
I have
some really pretty knees.
Apparently I need to see Diaba's knees because I haven't seen them yet, but I think Parrish has seen his knees. But Jessica, one of the things that I don't know if I've ever asked you, as long as I've known you and we've interacted a lot and then disappear from each other, but what really, I mean, you talked about being in foster care and that somehow helping you with the launch of Punani Poets, but why sexuality? Why poetry? As opposed to singing and dancing and no poetry. Why poetry and why sexuality? What was that? The crux
well,
that made you go.
The thing about living in my neighborhood is everybody's got a talent. I'm from Oakland, California. Mm-hmm. So most of the kids had some kind of talent. And I also grew up in church. So I should first say that the reason I was able to stay out of trouble is because I was in church. I was absolutely, like, that is definitely the reason I was able to stay out of trouble. But still, I wasn't able to avoid being molested by my foster father or raped when I was 15. So it was a combination of what I was reading in the Bible and what I was seeing around me in terms of the authenticity of the adults that were supposed to be Christian, and my recovery process and what that involved. And so it was writing, doing journalism, that really helped me to take my burdens, like in church, the pastor, Reverend Carey, used to say to take your burdens and lay them on the altar and be careful not to take them with you when you leave. Hmm. Well, after I was raped and I started writing about it, I worked for my school newspaper. It was a pretty popular paper, award-winning for a high school paper. And I wrote about, because I was suicidal. I was really going through a lot. When I was raped, I had been a virgin, and I was really trying to save myself till marriage, and I was trying to be a minister. I had been a youth evangelist my whole life and Toastmasters. So writing and speech and preaching and all that kind of stuff, I was groomed for. I was trained for. So it was already there. When I was finally able to put the pieces together, it's because I was covering entertainment journalism and Eazy-E had just announced that he got AIDS.
Right.
And just as a journalist, as a writer, as a girl from Oakland, as somebody who, you know, spent time backstage at hip hop concerts, I was just mortified when the music of my generation turned against women. And the Punani Poets was a way for me to speak to HIV becoming the black woman's burden and also to heal my own wounds through the writing, through the power of the words.
Mm-hmm. Parrish, did you have a question, hon?
Oh, no, I was just taking that in. I love you speaking to the point about having, you know, such a connection to the music, and then hear the music start, you know, to degrade, you know, the black women. Are you referencing the lyrics in the music that started addressing women as bees and hoes, or are you talking about something else?
Yes, I'm addressing specifically N.W.A. and even more specifically Eazy-E, because he is the one mm-hmm. that aid. So I saw it as some kind of, you know, omen, warning to us in the hip-hop community so that we could see, you know, be able to put the pieces of this tragic puzzle together and see where we were headed. And there were people at the time who were trying to speak out and there was C. Dolores Tucker, was really trying to warn us. And I was a journalist at the time, so, you know, I was with everybody else. I was like, well, there's freedom of speech, and then there's the fact that the adults don't think we know the difference between fact and fiction. And I, you know, I didn't see that part until HIV. Because mm-hmm. already in 1995, we were 23% of the newly diagnosed AIDS cases. I mean, heterosexual black women in 1995. So when I started the project, the numbers were already just disproportionately high when I considered that AIDS had been a gay white male disease. And I was wondering how on earth there could be a bridge to heterosexual women. It just didn't make any sense. Heterosexual right. black women.
Mm-hmm.
So I started really, I came up with my own theory. You want to hear it?
Please, uh-huh. share.
Okay, cool. So I figured like this. Around 1980, they privatized the prisons. They needed to fill the beds. They changed the laws so that they could more easily arrest people. They started doing, I don't know about where you guys are from, but where we're from in California, they would drop off bags of guns and bags of drugs just mm. in the community. People would find them, and it would start, you know, wars. It would arm people, and it would start wars.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but when you say they, who's they?
They, I don't know, CIA, they government, they police, whomever. The prison system. The whole thing is just so corrupt. So basically, I kind of put this together just because it really, really makes sense. And I kind of used the example of South Africa to figure it out, because there was no problem with HIV before apartheid. There was no problem until they separated the men from the women and had people working in these mines for months, sometimes years at a time, being separated from their loved ones, being separated from their woman and being, you know, in those conditions. People have sex. They just do. And I don't think after a while it really matters if it's with a man or a woman. So this is what happened with the prison system. So on top of the fact that these young men were being carted off to jail in record numbers, they had already seen the results of crack. And the results of crack killed black female sexuality in America. It absolutely destroyed the image of black women mm-hmm. in the eyes of our men. And the music is a reporting, if you will. It's a musical account of what they were seeing and experiencing. It's not something they made up. It's not something they could have. There was no precedence for it, right? In anywhere in music, anywhere in black culture, have we ever treated women the way hip-hop music began to treat women? So what it was is they were seeing this. They were seeing their mothers, their aunties, their sisters, neighbors in alleys, you know, doing godforsaken things for drugs. And it started to leak into the music. And at the same time, they are defying death together. They're fatherless, you know, mm-hmm. by the 90s. there were no dads hardly in a house in a hood, right? So
right.
They become, they, you know, create these gangs. They're creating brotherhoods. Brotherhoods of other men who have seen women degrading themselves in such ways. And they're bonding with one another. They're dodging bullets together. They're eventually locked up in jail together. So, you know, and I know, everybody knows, like, it doesn't, men pretty much need to have sex. So they're being locked up for years at a time. I mean, they had a 25 to life on the third strike in California. I don't know about where you are from.
I was living there at that time. They did. And a lot of brothers were gone.
Insane. It's like gone for life on three strikes, and they could strike you for nothing, Harley. Like being around somebody with a felony will get you a strike.
Mm-hmm.
So it was entrapment. It was clearly like entrapment. But the thing is this. Inside of a man's... Well, what can we say on this show?
Anything. You can say, we're uncensored. You can say anything you want. Everything's uncensored.
Inside of the man's anus, when I'm doing my show, I explain to women, I'm like, this is the only way I can really describe it. I'm like, it's like they have a clitoris in their butt. So whether they're being raped or whether they're going into sexual situations willingly, it doesn't really matter because, you know, the physical body is the physical body. It doesn't matter about what your mind thinks so much. And so you're having a natural physical response to the stimulation of the prostate. It created a generation, like probably three by now, generations of men who probably wouldn't even be homosexual.
Hmm. But you think you relate this back to the crack though, and the three strikes of what was happening in the penal system.
Yes.
Huh. Okay.
It's literally a penal system.
It is. But Jessica, but hold that thought because we got to take a break. And when we come back on the other side of the break, I like to pick up on that because I think there's a lot of truth into what you said. I lived in California around that same time, and I know it was happening in a lot of the neighborhoods, and the crack was rampant. And a lot of people today, of course, are making reference to the opioid crisis. And it's like, oh, but when it was a crack crisis, nobody had anything to say. But now, they just locked everybody up. But because they privatized, they had to make that money. So listen, don't go away. You were listening to Sisters of Sexuality with your host, Taylor Sparks, and Parrish Michelle Blair, and our amazing guest, Jessica Holter of the Panani Poets. Stay right there, and we'll be right back.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Organic Lovin'. For the bodies you love to love. How do people describe you? Are you curious, playful, maybe sensual, adventurous? How about open-minded? The truth is, no matter who you are, Organic Lovin' has something to indulge your fantasies. We offer only organic, natural, and eco-friendly intimate body products, including vegan condoms, organic lubricants, body-safe sex toys, and sex-positive books. You won't find anything harmful in our products or toys. We also have a full range of other experiences, including erotic seminars and exotic adult-only vacations. Receive our adult subscription box for a monthly sexual delight. Be educated, entertained, and informed. Organic Lovin'. For her, for him, for you, for the bodies you love to love. Visit organiclovin.com. We offer shipping worldwide, so stop by the site anytime. Organic Lovin'. That's LOVEN.com.
Healthcare has been a major part of news stories today, with one thing that has been consistent. inconsistency. Both healthcare providers and patients have to work around and get used to a constantly changing set of rules and issues. Nurses have historically been left out of this decision-making. Listen to Once a Nurse, Always a Nurse, exploring the world of nursing with host Leanne Meyer. Health professionals, we invite you to share your ideas and experiences while listening to experts in various areas of nursing. Listen Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
You were listening to Sisters of Sexuality. To check in with the show and ask your questions, call us at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. Now, back to our show.
Hey, sex people, Taylor Sparks here, along with my sexy co-host, Pash Michelle Blair, and our oh-so-sexy, bumbalicious Jessica Holter of the Punani Poets. Jessica, Parrish, welcome back to the show. So before we took the break, we were talking about your thought process on how 23% of African-American women in the 80s or by the early 90s were some of the newest cases of HIV. We talked about how the music had changed in the 80s and became much more disrespectful to women. And your thought process about how this all came about was the privatizing of the jail, of the jails, the three strikes, the crack running rampant, women, you know, and men both getting hooked on this, and men being carted off to jails by the truckloads and then getting out and having spent many years in jail and then coming home with HIV and then giving it to their women. Is that pretty much what you believe to have been the case?
That's almost it, except I attribute it to the power of the prostate, because it's one thing for them to be having sex or to be raped. It's another thing that not only did they, but is it highly enjoyable sex for a man to have? It's also the type of sex that they cannot have with women in their mind. You can now. I mean, we know you can peg and that type of stuff.
Right.
But
at the time,
there's still, even a lesbian will tell you, a lesbian who's been with a man will tell you, there's still no comparison to, like, you could peg a guy and he'll get stimulation, but you still don't have the body heat, the natural heart throb, or any of that stuff in there. And then, so the fact that male-on-male sex is so enjoyable, and so many people do it who don't even claim to be gay, that the CDC has a category of sexuality just simply called MSM, men who have sex with men.
Huh.
So I wanted to create a program that would allow me to take the stigma not only off of HIV, but off of sexual practices. And that's what I do with the Punani Poets.
I like that.
I like that a lot. I was talking on my live on Saturday or Sunday. I'm doing an online series every month with Sexy Spirit TV and different topics about resistance that women have to giving and receiving, or men have in giving and receiving. I covered oral sex a lot this year. And in November and December, I was letting everybody know, we're going to talk about anal pleasure, you know, the good and the bad from both perspectives, so we can kind of release a lot of this judgment and preconceived ideas and things like that, and just understand each other and our body. And that's exactly what I said, Jessica. What the number one thing to understand when someone says, I don't know how a man, you know, can take it up the butt, or I don't know why people like anal sex, because it feels good. You know, that's why usually people do things, because it feels good. And understanding the anatomy, I think, is so important for people to understand. So then, like you said, that's a body thing. That's a human body experience. It has nothing to really do as much with the mind.
It is a human body experience, but the main issue that I'm able to address, one that is controllable, more controllable by people, is the ability to communicate. If you can, people will tell you anything if they feel like you won't judge them.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
But you know, people are so judgmental. So this lack of the ability to be able to communicate, especially with women who now are bitches and hoes in your book, there's tension there. There's disrespect and anger and mistrust. There's fear. There's resentment because these women are home having to take care of these kids by themselves and you're not there and you're running around and all this. But the fact that the men couldn't tell the women or just simply come out and make a different choice, they began to continue to have relationships with women just as a cover. And this is how straight women got exposed to HIV. It's through the down low men who don't tell, who don't make the change from one sexuality to another. They still live their lives as straight men with all of the straight man benefits, you know, wife, children, and everything. And they feel they have to hide their true sexual nature, or maybe I won't even say true sexual nature. I take that back. They have to hide the fact that they have a proclivity for this or an interest in this.
Jessica, do you still believe that a large majority of men are still on the down low, even with everybody coming out and people being proud of their pride?
Because the men are the men who are coming out aren't so much the ones who were on the down low. A lot of them are still scared. I mean, a lot of them are still scared. Men who have something to lose. There's a new generation, though. I have a 16-year-old daughter.
Oh, my God.
And
Go ahead,
yeah,
go ahead.
And I'm watching the groups that she's interested in. So the real young ones, they're standing more in their truth. The ones who are bi are usually, you know, they're out about it. They have, like, a lot of them now. Tyler, the Creator. They have, what's that other group? It's a whole group of them. And then that other guy that has the song, he has a rap song. And it's with a country western singer.
I don't know.
You know this song. It's
I know, but don't ask me now. I don't know.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, there's a new guy who just won some big award, and he has like a country western song. So, there is an awareness and a blending.
Lil Nas.
Lil Nas. There's a blending of cultures and a crossover of lifestyles that is happening amongst the younger people. But there's also a lot of pushback from the Christian right. So we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens, because I'm happy to see that there's more awareness and there's more conversation and all of that going on. But you still have, you know, on the side of all of this, there is the fact that this is a very Christian country. Every law is pretty much based on the Bible.
Well, if I could say, the thing that I, you know, when my daughter was growing up and then once she went off to college, you know, one of the things, we started talking about sex and sexualities, one of the things that I made very clear to her, I believe, was that she is responsible for her own sexual health and her own orgasms, right? I said, it's your responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's your body. You cannot depend on the man to have condoms when you want to have sex or not get you pregnant. It's your responsibility 100%. So you need to have your own condoms and, you know, and you need to be on birth control, whatever choice you think that's going to be best for you. But it's your responsibility. It's not like, oh, I forgot the condoms today, babe. That's bullshit. You know, I said, because there are worse things than getting pregnant You know, there was a time that pregnancy was the worst thing, but there were worse things in getting pregnant. I mean, you know, one sperm with a sense of direction, but I've also even said that to my son. You know, as he became sexually active, you were responsible for your own sexual health and your own orgasms. You have got to keep your condoms with you. And I, you know, and saying if the girl that you just met doesn't think enough of herself, even though you know you're fine, but if she's not thinking enough of herself to make you wear a condom, who else is she not making wear a condom? So it's your, so you got to have, everybody has to be responsible for their own self. It's not the man's responsibility. It's not the woman's responsibility. It's each individual's responsibility. And that's what I've bore into their head as best I could.
It is. But, you know, if you asked me earlier why I choose poetry, yeah, it gives me the platform to be able to be colorful with my approach to being able to say the very difficult things. And also, you know, it allows me to be understanding of the true nature of humankind. And in our true nature, when we are sexual, the thought of dying does not really enter our heads. Most people have sex when they're full of passion. Mm-hmm. And this is the main reason people don't use protection. Like, no one wants to stop and think about anything or go to the store in the middle of it or anything like that. Like, I mean, it's great that we know these things, but in reality and in practice, yeah, nah, people are having raw sex. And if that weren't the case, you could tell by the birth rate.
Uh-huh. So, Jessica, at the top of the show, we covered a lot. We covered a lot of about the pain and the, you know, just a short while ago, the history of sexuality and the connection with music and how that affected the African American family. I want to get into the pleasure. I want to understand the woman who creates all of these highly sexually charged projects, like, where did you find the pleasure of sex? You know, being very religious and then having all this pain in your life, separated from your family and assault and everything. Where did you find the pleasure about sex? Like, why do you love sex now?
Why do I do sex work?
You know, why do you love it? Or do you love sex? And if you do, why?
Oh, do I love sex? On a personal level, it is not one of the things that I'm using right now to bring my personal self any personal pleasure. on a regular basis, like, that is not really is not really on my agenda right now. Only because I lost my partner and I moved to Georgia, and I had a long period of depression, and even depression leading up to that, over a custody battle. I had a custody battle with my ex-husband, which was real convoluted, and then my partner died. My manager and life partner died of cancer, and I had to take care of her for 3 years. It was really just like a lot. And during that period, I just did a lot of soul searching. And when you're living in a house with death like that, you really think a lot about the decisions you've made, what you want to do before you die. You don't want to die young with regrets, as she did. And then Ebony, the one I was telling you about earlier, she died just a month before Yolanda did, and it was really hard. And 6 months before that, one of my original Fulani poets also died, Mr. Brandon Purnell. And so I was really thinking about my mortality when I made the decision to move to Atlanta, which I love, and I've always wanted to live in the South. I never really felt like I really fit in very well in California, probably because I was raised by this really old lady from Texas. And so I have like a lot of really old school like ways and stuff. It's kind of funny. But I did remarry. And healthier than I've ever been.
Yay.
But I'm also going to be 50 in November.
Woohoo! And welcome so to the fold, girl.
Tells you, what nobody tells you about menopause is that you can lose your sex drive.
You said what to your sex drive?
I said you can lose your sex drive.
Some can.
Some menopause can, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's that I don't have much of a sex drive, why I'm not really, I don't have a close personal relationship with sex, but I understand the importance of it and what it can mean to a relationship. And more importantly, I understand how important it is to my client. It's very important.
I like
important.
That you're saying.
As a matter of fact,
Jessica,
it's so important to my client.
That.
Huh?
No, I'm sorry. I'm getting a little bit of a delay, and I'm sorry I keep overlapping when you're talking, but I'm realizing now I'm getting a delay. So go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I was going to say it's so important to my clients that it's the reason I do the work. It's not because it's input. You know, like a lot of people, like I have a lot of friends who are porn stars, and they'll say, most of them will say, oh, well, I just liked having sex a lot. I never did the Punani pose because I liked having sex a lot. That wasn't it at all. It was really a community service program for me. It started that way. It still is. Right now I'm really, really busy, like working, like I never worked before. Like, it's like I feel like I'm running against the clock. So I've gotten a lot done in the 3 years that I've been to Atlanta. Like, we have a little passenger bus. We do trips 5 days away and stuff like that. Also, as my clients got older, I started offering them additional services, things that have less to do with sex and more to do with their personal wellness, just overall wellness. And so that includes recruiting some fabulous women who are team members with me and my nonprofit organization, which is called hipinc.org, kind of a place for me to, it's Holter Intellectual Property. It's like a place for me to put all my stuff so it can still be available to the world when I'm dead. Like, I really came out of that situation like, oh my God, what if I die? I better hurry up. Like, for real.
No, no.
Girl, that's the path that I'm on. I might mess around with 80, but just in case, I'll be
Yeah,
ready.
You're not going. I don't believe you're going anywhere, so, anytime soon.
Yeah, so now
soon.
We have this
nonprofit.
And we have a little 22-passenger bus, and our building where we are is on the studio, is on the campus of a film studio. So I've been working on just finishing some, you know, I have a lot of material. So finishing some projects that I already started, that I kind of put on the back burner, or they were just things that I thought about that I knew were fabulous and I wrote them down and never finished them. So yeah, this is that part of my life.
Well, I think it's really good that you're saying that, because people just assume if a woman isn't a sexologist or works in any of the many different areas in sexuality and expression of that you're, you know, that you're having a lot of sex. And that sometimes is the case, but not always. So I think it's great.
Sometimes for us.
That.
I'm going to talk about myself. I'm just going to talk about myself right now. Those of us who, and you know what I was going to say, Jessica, maca root is really good for menopause. It helps with a lot of the symptoms, and it's just, it's an adaptogen, and it does also help with the libido naturally and brings your juices back. It's really good for both men and women. And, we got to take another break, so don't go away. And when we come back, I do want to talk about more sex and having more sex. Okay, it's just me. Guys, don't go away. We'll be right back after the break.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Organic Lovin', for the bodies you love to love. How do people describe you? Are you curious, playful, maybe sensual, adventurous? How about open-minded? The truth is, no matter who you are, Organic Lovin' has something to indulge your fantasies. We offer only organic, natural, and eco-friendly intimate body products, including vegan condoms, organic lubricants, body-safe sex toys, and sex-positive books. You won't find anything harmful in our products or toys. We also have a full range of other experiences, including erotic seminars and exotic adult-only vacations. Receive our adult subscription box for a monthly sexual delight. Be educated, entertained, and informed. Organic Lovin'. For her, for him, for you, for the bodies you love to love. Visit organiclovin.com. We offer shipping worldwide, so stop by the site anytime. Organic Lovin'. That's LOVEN.com.
The Voice America Live Events Channel is here now to showcase your corporate, individual, or organization's live event. Visit voiceamerica.com/live events to see all of our past live events and find out more. Whether it's a multi-day conference, special speaker, or a single-day event, we've got everything to make your event a success. We can do a few hours or a few days. For more information about taking your event to the next level, call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417 or email info@voiceamerica.com. Again, that's Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417 or send us an email to info@voiceamerica.com. Voice America is where you are and where you want to be. Join us around the globe as we broadcast live from some of the most interesting events available. Don't forget to view all our live events, including on-demand access to past events that you may have missed, by visiting voiceamerica.com/live events.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
You were listening to Sisters of Sexuality. To check in with the show and ask your questions, call us at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back, sex people. This is Taylor Sparks, and you're listening to Sisters of Sexuality, Five Shades of Play. And I'm here with my co-host, Parrish Michelle Blair, and the most wonderful guest, Jessica Holter of the Punani Poets. Welcome back, ladies.
Hey.
Hey. You know, I wanted to talk about and mention our newest supporter of Sisters of Sexuality, and that is from a company called Manscaped. And they are the number one men's below-the-belt grooming. And Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for the family jewels. Now, Parrish and I talked about this, I think, last week, about men with hairy balls. And this line of products that Manscaped has, they have this amazing redesigned electric trimmer, which they call the Lawnmower 2.0. And it has this skin-safe technology so that the trimmer won't nick or snag their balls. Now, I know white guys, their ball hair is really straight, but I know some brothers that got that really tight, tight curl on the ball.
So is it like a perm? It's a perm for balls?
No, it's not a perm. It's a trimmer. It's an electric trimmer.
Oh. So,
it's an electric trimmer for their balls, but so that it doesn't, so when they shave down there, when they manscape, like we ladiescape, you know, they won't get any nicks or cuts with this specially designed Lawnmower 2.0. And so so it's not like the same trimmer that they use on the face. You know, this one is more narrow and more precise. And then they also have something called the Crop Preserver, which is an anti-chafing ball deodorant with moisturizer. And so it's a whole kit that they get. So visit manscaped.com. When you do and you use our code Sisters of Sex, you get not only 20% off, you also get free shipping. So your balls are going to thank you. Your girls are going to thank you for your balls not being all hairy, and you won't get nicked. So go to manscaped.com.
Are you like men to groom, Jessica?
Huh?
Do you like men to groom?
Do I like men to be groomed?
Uh-huh.
I'm a lesbian, but when I was with guys, no.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't know that. What you identified as. I apologize.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm bisexual, but I don't sleep with guys when I'm with girls. I guess is the best way to say it. Yeah.
Okay.
So when you were with Jessica,
I just like a regular guy, I like a big, larger than life kind of John Henry, handsome, broad shouldered man who does manual labor. That's what I like.
Not a pretty boy in skinny jeans?
No. No. Girl, I told you, HIV scared the bejesus out of me.
It scared me, too. I was one of the first of my girlfriends to start using condoms and start passing them out. And still, well, now I sell condoms and vegan condoms. And I'm always like, get a condom. Use a condom. Condom, condom, condom.
Hey, condom. Do you make condoms? You make your own condoms?
No, I do not. But my company, Organic Lovin', we're resellers. So we only sell vegan condoms. I do not sell your standard condoms because they have a lot of chemicals on them.
What's a vegan condom?
A vegan condom, the difference between a standard condom and a vegan condom is the vegan condom comes from a sustainable rubber tree. The rubber has been, it's still made of a natural rubber latex. It has been triple washed, so it doesn't have that nasty smell and or taste. It has not been tested on animals because your standard condoms are tested on both horses and sheep. And they don't use rabbits because their dicks are too small and they can't get the research. They come too fast. And the lubricant on them is natural. So they are much better for the woman. They're not as drying. They don't have chemicals on them like propylene glycol, which is the cousin to antifreeze. And it's really drying for the vagina. So vegan condoms are way better for women. So I only sell organic, eco-friendly, natural body products on my site, including vegan condoms.
Lovely. I saw that they have them, but I never know exactly what that meant. Like, what was?
I will send some to
like
you.
Like, were they made of like sugar or like some type?
No sugar in the pussy.
What do they make it with? Like, you know which condoms I like? I like the polyurethane condoms.
Yeah, if you have a latex, the polyisoprene.
I like the way they feel.
Yeah, we sell the polyisoprene as well for those who have a latex allergy. And they all feel the same to me for the most part, except they're just not drying as the regular condoms. I won't use the other condoms anymore. They're way better. What kind of condoms do you like, Parrish?
I like the micro, I always forget the name of the one that's in the blue and silver pack. Micro,
the kimono?
The organic leaven. Can you hear
the
me?
The kimono.
Is that what it's called?
Oh, kimono.
That's a brand.
I think I had a couple of them on my nipples when we were in New Orleans.
Oh, that's Glide. That's Glide.
No. Well, then no, not Glide. It's the other one, the one that you just mentioned.
It's the kimonos.
But the dry issue doesn't happen with that, and it's the men like it. You know, I get really good feedback from the men and how it feels.
Yeah, they're really one of the thinnest condoms on the market, the kimonos. They are, I like them too. I like them all.
Those
I like
are great
condoms.
Condoms.
Mm-hmm. So if you ever decide to have sex with a man again, Jessica, I got you, girl.
Bro, they're going to have to get their stuff together. I am not.
What do you enjoy about being sexual with feminine energy? Like, what is it about that?
Well,
that
I mean, I'll
you
probably
recognize?
Be married for the rest of my life anyway. I feel like I will be. And so there'll probably be no... I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine. I love black men. I absolutely love black men as humans. Like, I just think, oh, how incredible these people are. Just these human beings who are able to take nothing and make it magnificent. Who are able to make people, they define everything. They define sports. They define physical excellence and standards of beauty and dress codes. And they can go to prison and turn that into pop culture. It is insane the power that these men have. And the only sad thing is that they don't know it. And I love them so much. There's no way I could be with one and not be too hard on them. Like, mm-hmm. It's just not for me. It would be a project for me. And because of the work that I do, I learned that from my first marriage. I was married to a man, mm-hmm. my son's father, and I started the Punani Project while I was with him, and I knew, like, and I was young, too. Like 29, I think, when we separated. And mm-hmm. I knew right away that this work that I do, that I'm very committed to because I feel like it is my calling, would not allow for me to be able to be with a man, not the kind of man that I like. And he not be intimidated by it.
He would become jealous, yeah. I'm sure. And
angry, and it would probably be impossible. And I yes. would wish that on him or me, you know.
Parrish and I talk about that on occasion about the different men that are in our lives based on what we do and how they would be able to handle it. But, you know, we're getting towards the close. And, Jessica, would you please tell everyone where they can find you? We're getting down to our last 2 minutes. If you could quickly tell everybody where they can find you on social media and your website.
Yeah, my website is punanilove.com. Punani, P-U-N-A-N-Y, love.com. And pretty much Punani Poets on all the social media. They can find my other sites just by finding Punani Poets or searching, you know, Google.
Wonderful.
Sweetest Day is coming up. So.
Yeah, I said wonderful, wonderful. And I'm so... Thank you so much for being on our show. And Parrish, tell everyone where they could find you, my love.
You can look for me online at Parrish Blair TV on social media and Sexy Spirit TV. And if you want to know more about the sessions that I provide and what I'm doing on my Parrish Blair Love Affair Tour, visit parrishblair.com.
Perfect. And I am Taylor Sparks at OrganicLovin, LOVEN.com. And you have been listening to the Sisters of Sexuality 5-Day to Play radio show. You can email us any of your questions about sex, sexuality, kink, relationships, and we'd be more than happy to answer that on the show at sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. And you can find us on all social media at Sisters of Sexuality and Sisters of Sex on Facebook and Twitter. And we thank you so much for being here. And Jessica, again, thank you so much for being on the show. And we will talk to you guys again next week. Thank you. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network.
Thank you for tuning in to Sisters of Sexuality. Please join Taylor Sparks and Parrish Michelle Blair again next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel or on demand 24/7. And don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at sistersofsexuality.com for all the latest information on our appearances and events.
Thank Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet.